This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao. North Carolina's public school districts began their new year in mid-August. Though most schools kicked off the fall quarter learning entirely at home, some school districts decided to reopen for partial in-person instruction under Governor Cooper's Plan B. The hybrid instruction model includes some days spent in school and some at home. And the Plan B reopenings have yielded varying results. Some schools and districts have already announced temporary closures due to positive COVID cases. Carolina Public Press lead investigative reporter Kate Martin is with us. She's been talking to teachers and administrators in districts that have reopened under Plan B. Kate, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Anita.
Yeah, so over the summer, we talked a lot about this reopening. The governor announced that North Carolina schools would reopen in August under Plan B, but they could open fully online if they wanted to. That was an option. The majority of districts chose that option. Some did not. And you have been looking at those. So tell me a bit about which parts of the state chose Plan B and why they did so.
Well, most of the ones that are opening under Plan B seem to be in rural areas, but there are certainly quite a few larger districts that have opened under Plan B. In terms of those districts, many of them say they're following the guidance of their local health departments. And in fact, one of them closed after deciding to go into Plan B, going fully into a remote schooling environment.
So how many students are we talking about across the state that are attending school in person?
In person, there are districts that have around 500,000 students in them that are deciding to go to in-person instruction. However, parents in those districts also have the opportunity to keep their child at home if they wish. And so it's going to be less than 500,000. It depends on the district.
So for those that did open under Plan B, parents could still choose to keep their kids at home. Do we know what percentage of parents decided to do that, who had the option to send their kids in person but decided to keep them at home?
Right. That varies a lot by district. So, for instance, Buncombe County schools decided to go in person, but about 40% of those students are staying home. Another district, Onslow County School District, they also decided to teach in person, and around 18% of those students are deciding to stay at home, or their parents are taking them home.
Okay. Well, how has it been going in terms of health and virus control? I know, you know, earlier on in August, I guess, when Georgia reopened their schools, we saw these kind of crazy situations where the hallways were flooded and, you know, hundreds of students and staff were exposed to the coronavirus. What's been going on in North Carolina? How's it been going?
Well, some districts have had some cases of COVID. Some of them have been able to isolate those teachers or those classes who were exposed. Others have, it's hard to say. Like, they don't always release full information, to be completely honest.
So for those that have opened in this hybrid model, how have they done that? What does this look like in terms of students showing up? Are they showing up 5 days a week or on a rotating schedule?
Yeah, it depends. Again, each district is doing it differently. Some of them are splitting into two different cohorts, so two equal groups of students. One group will come, say, Monday, Tuesday, then they clean on Wednesday, and then the other group will go on Thursday, Friday, and another district is even splitting the groups into groups of four, where kids will go to school only one day a week, each different group, and then there's a day where nobody comes to school, but everybody's learning remotely when they're not at school on those 5 days.
The governor announced all this protocol that schools would have to follow when they were doing in person. So temperature, daily temperature checks, making sure kids are 6 feet apart, hand washing stations, all of that. From your reporting, how have all of those been going? Has it been doable for schools to follow through with all that protocol?
So far, it sounds like that's the case, according to the ones I've talked to. So remember how some parents are keeping their kids at home. You know, some districts, it's anywhere from about 18% to 40% of the school. Then they're splitting the kids into, A and B groups or four different groups. So overall, you have fewer students coming to school on any given day. And screening those students seems to be manageable for the districts that I've talked to. Other districts have also adjusted the cleaning schedules for their janitors. So instead of coming in at night to clean the building, they're going to be there during the day more of the time so they can do more of that deep cleaning that the health departments recommend.
And have they had to hire more people to help support, like more nurses or more staff to help with the health situation in schools?
One district I talked to, Union County Public Schools, said that they had made a concerted effort to hire more school nurses because of the outbreak. They have 53 schools, and before the outbreak, they had one nurse for every two or three schools. And now it's my understanding that they have a nurse at each school, and they're closely working with the staff to monitor the situation.
Okay. How about substitute teachers? I know that's something we heard a lot about this summer in terms of, you know, a lot of teachers are older, are in that higher risk group. And if they get sick, we need to make sure we have enough subs to fill in and backfill for those positions. How has that been going? Do we have enough substitute teachers? Is there kind of a cohort building of those?
Well, I'll be honest, even before the pandemic, there was a shortage of substitute teachers. And there's a variety of reasons for that. Like, some states have certain requirements that you have to meet. North Carolina in particular has low pay, is my understanding, for a substitute teacher. And yes, you're right. They are either retired from the career that they had, or maybe they're a retired teacher. A lot of districts are actually looking for teachers. So my understanding is that the job market is, it's a pretty good time to be a teacher if you're looking for a job. But again, substitute teachers were hard to find before the pandemic. And now that we have a pandemic, you know, I mean, the districts I talked to said that they're very worried about that.
Hmm. So you looked at a variety of districts around the state that are operating under different models. And I want to hear a bit more about what's going on in Onslow County. That was kind of an interesting situation. It's a school district that is close to a Marine base, and that factored into how they made some of their decisions about reopening and what the reopening has looked like. So could you take me more into that school in particular?
Yeah. First off, if you're a parent in the military, you really rely a lot on your school family. It's also considered a military readiness issue. People want their children to be safe, and military members are no exception. The district there, according to the spokesman that I talked to, his name was Brent Anderson. He told me that the military looks at what the school district is doing as a military readiness issue. So if a Marine was taken down by COVID, he said that could impact their ability to do their job. And so it's in the military's best interest to make sure that widespread of coronavirus in schools doesn't happen, because the children could make the Marines sick, for instance.
Hmm. So what does that mean in terms of their ability to keep kids safe during the school day? Are they taking special protocol?
I think they're mostly following the state's advice, and if they have to close an area of the school, they're not going to close the whole thing down. They just close down the area that's infected, where the people have been infected.
Got it. So the state transitions to phase 2.5 tomorrow. There was an announcement from the governor earlier this week, kind of this middle ground, because nothing is getting worse, but nothing is really getting better. We're kind of holding steady at a lot of those key metrics. So what does this mean for schools moving forward, those who have delayed their in-person start and are kind of watching the numbers? Do we have a sense of where things are going, how people are leaning?
Well, phase 2.5 doesn't change anything about K-12 education in the state. I think that most school officials are really watching this with like a white knuckle grip on the statistics. The sense that I'm getting is that a lot of people really want to be in school, but they also want people to be safe.
How are teachers feeling, those that you spoke to? How are they feeling about being back in school, those that have been back in the classroom?
Yeah, I haven't actually talked to many teachers who are already back in the classroom, but I've written stories before where I talk to teachers, and they're pretty worried, especially if they have a pre-existing condition or they're at a greater risk of, getting a bad injury or even dying from COVID. They're worried.
Do they feel like students in the classrooms are taking the precautions? Are they wearing masks? I know there was a lot of concern, can you get a
right.
kindergartner to keep a mask on all day? Is that going well?
Well, some of the administrators I talked to said they had visited kindergarten classrooms, and they said that it was going a lot better than they thought it would. Kindergarten teachers are very creative. The ones that I visited in my career throughout the years, they play little games and they give stickers, and that's not the exception here. They're definitely doing those sorts of things to encourage the kids to keep their masks on during the day.
How about high schoolers?
High schoolers are following the rules, too, according to the people that I talked to.
So in terms of all of those who are not in Plan B and who are doing things more online, how has that virtual learning been going? And as far as I know that hasn't been a deep part of your reporting, but from what you've seen.
Right. I mean, there were some hitches early on in the first week of class. A number of the platforms that teachers and students were using to connect online were crashing. I know that students in rural areas are having a lot of trouble, mostly because of the digital divide. You don't have broadband access in some of these rural communities. I mean, imagine trying to do, you know, even one Zoom meeting in a rural area where you don't have robust broadband. That's the issue there.
Is there anything else you're looking out for moving forward in terms of ed policy, things you're keeping an eye on or future stories we should look out for from you, Kate?
Yeah, we're just keeping an eye on the temperature here in a lot of the different districts throughout the state. We also had a story published on our website about how a large number of parents are opting to homeschool their kids this year. So many that the registration website crashed a few times due to the high traffic. Parents are very clearly paying attention to these metrics, and so is Carolina Public Press.
All right. Kate Martin is a lead investigative reporter at Carolina Public Press. Kate, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.